An investigation has started after a fight between groups of passengers at Belfast International Airport. Videos on social media show men armed with poles throwing shopping baskets and a fire extinguisher. The incident happened in the departure area on Saturday night. Imagine coming home from your holiday to see that. One lady who witnessed the incident is with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. So what did you see?
We were in Starbucks and just getting a coffee, and we had first of all heard quite a big ruckus coming from where the Lagan Bar was. We thought it was maybe just groups of friends or whatever, but my younger sister was getting up to go to the toilet near where the noise was coming from, so we'd stood up just to make sure she was okay, and had seen then sort of groups of men gather outside where the duty-free was, and in doing that they started just fighting and shouting at each other, and then, like I had said, lifting poles from signs outside the shop and baskets and, you know, fire extinguishers and just really anything they could get their hands on, and were throwing at each other. But they sort of kept a little bit of distance between one another, so anybody walking past or not really realising what was going on at first was getting hit with the things. And there seemed to be quite a lot of the men, so it was quite scary.
And did you see the men with the poles?
Yeah, they had, there was sort of big advertisement displays outside duty free. There's just like big sort of massive posters, and there was poles on the side of the posters, and they were sort of just like pulling them off and like throwing the posters on the floor, and they weren't actually throwing the poles at each other, they were like aiming them at each other, and they were really long, so they were sort of just in all angles. They were sort of going for everybody who was in the area.
What were the law-abiding passengers doing?
The airport wasn't too busy, but everybody seemed just real fear in their face, like getting their bags. We sort of were at Starbucks, we got our bags up and were moving to go to, you know, back outside where Burger King is, sort of just on the other side. But as we were doing that, just the group was getting bigger and bigger, and sort of...
How many men are we talking about here?
Well, I would say up to 20. You wouldn't have been able to count. There was a lot of them, but probably about 20 men.
And did you see anybody rushing in to intervene and try to stop it? Was there much security around?
No, I personally, I think there was like an older couple beside us. There was my younger sister and my mom and my dad. Like, there was lots of people, and they were just really frightened. So I actually went to the duty-free and I said, you know, is there anything you can find to get security? And then I went to Starbucks and said the same, and then went out to Burger King and said the same to someone who looked like they worked in an airport. They had like a yellow vest on, and they just kept telling me security was coming, but there wasn't anybody there. That was probably the most scary thing, was there wasn't anybody there to, you know, if it got out to the public who was sort of just in the bays of the fight, there wasn't anybody to protect other than the people you were with to protect each other. There wasn't anybody to keep us safe, like, during that period of time, which was the most scary. That's why I agreed to sort of come on and say about it, just because it was really frightening, and it did take, you know, quite some time for people to come and de-escalate it.
Well, the airport, Belfast International Airport, they don't want to put anybody on to talk to their passengers, which is interesting in itself. They have given us a statement in which they say that the incident in its entirety lasted 7 minutes, and police arrived on the scene within 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's not how it happened at all. I would have no reason, as flew from international for 29 years, I would have no reason to say otherwise if that was the truth. But that definitely wasn't the truth. I sort of felt like I was doing more, and even like some of the girls working in a few of the shops, you know, just more like sort of walking around, where can we get security, you know, that sort of thing. There was more, I felt like I was trying to hunt down security, and that lasted for quite a while.
Is it possible that because of how scary this was, is it possible that it did last, that the police were on the scene within 3 minutes, but it felt longer to you? You know, time slowed down.
Yeah, no, I definitely get what you're saying. But no, it wasn't. It was really, really frightening for... It was frightening for me, don't get me wrong. It was really, really frightening for my younger sister and stuff, but I was just more, you know, get somebody. But no, I mean, the ruckus that we heard in the Lagan Bar, when we had spoke to the barman prior, like after the fighting, when everything had calmed down, he had said that it started there, and one man threw a pint over another man, and then it sort of just got a bit out of hand there, and then it moved to where we actually seen it. And where we seen it honestly, it was definitely over 10 minutes and in total, you know, at least 15 minutes. And then when the police came...
Well, the airport now is disputing that. They said it lasted 7 minutes in total. No. Police on the scene within 3 minutes. The rapid intervention of police was not captured in the videos posted on social media, says Belfast International Airport.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely not the case. And probably why it wasn't captured was when the police came... all of the men just dispersed. They didn't. It didn't take for the police to break them up or anything. They just dispersed. They were quite smart in doing that and just sort of went to all different cafes. So we had seen, I recognised them all. They were, so we, I had sort of seen, well, not them all maybe, but I had sort of seen, because we were right beside where they all dispersed. They all went through to Starbucks and the other cafes. Nobody probably got it all because it just happened so quickly when, you know, they just sort of, went their separate ways so quickly. It didn't take for the police to separate them. There wasn't this big hassle of separating them. They knew rightly when the police came, they just all sort of went their own way so that the police wouldn't know who they were looking for when they showed up. But it definitely wasn't as quick as that. You know, it did go on for quite some time.
I think one of the things in people's minds this morning probably is, look, you know, what if it had been a more serious incident? How quickly would security get to these people? Because
that's the reason. Yeah, that's the reason why I was sort of happy to say whatever on the radio, because that was my one concern. You know, it was serious enough between the men, but if and it, like I said, it was sort of starting to spill out towards other members of the public. So I was just more worried about me and my family, and you know, if they were coming closer to us with big poles, you know, we didn't have anything to sort of protect ourselves. So I was just worried that, you know, had that have been more serious, you sort of see lots of things on the news, like lots of gang fighting and all the rest of it. And, you know, I haven't personally seen that myself. So it was just frightening to see in front of your eyes and just to realise that, you know, you can't sort of click your fingers and someone come to help you. It was such a long time before that happened. Now, when the police did come, they did do great in separating the men, but I sort of thought they were going to lift them and take them away out of the airport. But no, we were delayed for 2.5 hours, and we had to spend the rest of our time with the men there because both of those flights were sort of the last flights to go out of the airport. So was fine.
What do you mean you had to spend your time with the men there? What do you mean?
So, well, they were separated, but they were allowed to stay like in Starbucks.
Were they?
So the police were in their presence. They were there, but they were allowed to... to sit, one of the men were sitting eating. You know, they were allowed to sit in the cafes.
Did they fly?
Yeah, we flew. I'm not sure if they all flew, but we were gate 11 going from Edinburgh, and they were, a lot of the men that we had seen fighting, they were gate 10 going to Manchester, and we did see them board to go into their gate.
Well, now hold on a minute. So there's a very important part of this story. So you're telling me that men who were openly fighting in the airport were allowed on a plane?
Yeah, that's probably the most disgusting. Now, the police did walk them to their gate.
It doesn't matter if they walked them to the gate. It doesn't matter if they walked them up to the seat. What were they doing, allowing men who were fighting onto a plane? What if they started fighting again on the plane?
In the air, exactly. I approached, I was frightened to approach the police because they were like with the men, and I thought, if they see me speaking to the police, that would be come for me. So I did it. I waited until one of the policemen had sort of walked away, and I'd called him over and said, could you tell me what flight these guys are boarding? So he said Manchester and London Stansted. And he did say a few of them wouldn't be boarding. And I said, right, okay, well, that's okay. That's not where we're flying to. But then when we got into our gate to go to Edinburgh, they were directly facing us. And they were, I mean, you would not miss them a mile away. Some of them were big guys, and they had, you know, distinctive coats and things. And they were definitely boarding for Manchester. Yeah.
I think that is the most extraordinary part of this story.
Yeah, I know. Because I definitely wouldn't have flew had they been on our plane. Without a shadow of a doubt, we wouldn't. My family would not have been on that plane. But yeah. And I don't even know if the passengers who they were boarding with would have knew, you know, the whole that would be scary. I'd have been comfortable in the air with somebody who was willing to tear apart an airport. You know, what would they do on a plane? Passengers can't get off. So, no, it would just be very frightening.
I don't know what the rest of you this morning listening to this story make of this. But as I've been saying, the contribution from this witness at the end of her testimony, for me, is the most shocking of all. So men who were involved in an open fight in an airport where there were men, women and children, passengers having to be in the middle of this, those men were then allowed on an aircraft. That is, well, 030 30 80 55 55 is the number this morning. The police are saying that the airport police are handling it. What we will do is we'll get in touch with Belfast International Airport again this morning. We've been in touch with them over the last 12 months regularly enough, I guess, with the long queues at security. There's an irony here, is there not, that here you have these long queues at security where, you know, we're waiting to get through their security process where they search us from head to toe. Rightly so, because it's all about security, isn't it? And then if you stand in the middle of the airport and you get involved in a punch-up, you're allowed on the plane. Like, you couldn't make that up. Jim Gamble listening to this, former senior police officer himself. Morning to you, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Have I got up out of bed the wrong side or something this morning? Allowing men involved in a punch-up onto an aircraft.
No. I mean, from what we've heard this morning, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that there needs to be a fundamentally independent review of what went on. The airport are saying one thing, whilst videos and eyewitness testimony are saying another. So that's why I say fundamentally independent. We need to be reassured. We need to have confidence rebuilt in the competence of those who are running Belfast International Airport. Having looked at the video, you know, I really feel for anyone who was travelling through there with their family. And I'm glad that nobody actually tried to interfere themselves, because God knows what would have happened to them. So we need to know, how long did it take the police to arrive? You know, what did they do? And how professional was their intervention when they did come? And actually, you know, if these people were allowed to board a plane, did they follow the aviation rules? Did the police inform the pilot, the captain of the plane, to ensure that he or she was happy that these individuals could get on, because they clearly represented a potential risk on the flight? So it's farcical, and we really need to have a full and proper independent review. Where are the appeals for the mobile phone footage? If the flight was delayed by 2.5 hours, well, the police had plenty of time to go through the CCTV at each of the locations where this affray took place to ensure that those individuals were arrested and held immediately to account. And I would hope that when they are ultimately properly investigated and held to account, that they're banned from flying, because there needs to be a consequence for this type of behaviour.
Yeah, it does seem that some of the people involved were not allowed to fly. I'm just looking at a statement here in which they say the incident was dealt with very quickly. This is the police saying this. There is an ongoing investigation. There were very large groups involved. Some of the people involved did not travel following the incident. Well, that would suggest, if they're saying some of the people involved didn't travel, that in itself would probably concur with our witness statement this morning, that some of the people involved did travel.
Well, there's very careful and structured use of language going on here. You know, were people arrested, yes or no? Me deciding I don't want to travel or having a mutual agreement is one thing. Where I'm suspected of that type of offence in a public place like that, I'd expect to see a consequence of that. So the police arriving within 3 minutes, does that mean they arrived at the front door of the airport from the station, or does that mean they deployed directly with those people involved in the affray? You know, I've said it, you know, before, and I'll say it again, there needs to be an independent review. I'm a frequent, you know, regular, you know, every week I'm in Belfast International Airport travelling. I'm also in Birmingham, Manchester, smaller airports like Doncaster, in Leeds and Edinburgh. And I have not seen an airport, speaking from my own experience, that can be as farcical as Belfast International when it comes to the mismanagement of security queues. And that's not a criticism of the staff, it's a criticism of the management. Now we have a situation which is beyond irony, where post-security we have these people becoming involved in an affray and what seems to be a pretty poor response. Now, I don't envy the police in a situation like this because their numbers will be small having to deploy, and they will have to think about how they're going to do that, and they'll want to de-escalate the situation. But the competence, you know, and the capacity of the police has to be checked at the international airport, because they are the last airport police in the UK. And I think this is a time to pause and reflect on whether or not they've got the equipment and the training and the numbers to deal with an incident like this.
And back to our eyewitness. So did you tell me this morning that some of these people involved in the fight were actually escorted up to the gate? Hello?
Yes, they were gate 10 boarding to Manchester, so they were facing us, and the police did escort them to gate 10.
And you're sure that some of those people had been fighting?
Without a doubt. The clothing they were, you can see from the video even, they would be so recognisable. They were wearing big puffy coats and with fur around it, you know, just their manner, and just, yeah, they were definitely the same guys. Yeah.
So, Jim, am I being unrealistic here? I'm trying to be as fair as I can in that, you know, if there's a large group of men, then how do the police actually know who had been fighting, who hadn't been? Maybe that's why some of these men slipped through. But then why did the police escort them? Should the police not have grounded that plane until they had time to look through the CCTV footage? What's more important, the security of passengers at the risk of one of these guys who was involved in a fight getting on a plane, or the flight?
Well, I think ultimately you've got to, once the police are there, you've got to then look at the flight. You know, were the pilot and crew informed? Why did the police escort them? The only reason I can think they would have escorted them is to prevent a further affray. Well, they're not escorting them on the plane, so that of itself asks serious questions. So you've got to look at, you know, what was the plan? When they turned up and realised that, you know, this type of offence had taken place, they must have had access to the CCTV. It doesn't seem like these people were separated, or that passengers in the airport had an opportunity where they could discreetly talk to police without fearing that they would be, you know, come under the attention of those who had previously been fighting and who had no regard for the law. So there needs to be, you know, critical lessons learned. And that includes looking at the provision of specialist airport police and whether that is sustainable and whether or not they need to be, you know, formally integrated into the broader policing family, the PSNI as such, where they would have immediate access to greater numbers. I would suggest probably officers who have had more frequent training and certainly more frequent experience dealing with public order situations. But the police themselves will have body-worn video. You know, there was an announcement back in 2017 that the airport police were getting these body-worn video cameras. So any type of review into this will be able to see very quickly what the police saw and what time they saw it at when they arrived. So I think to restore everybody's faith in the ability of the international airport to manage their safety, there needs to be a fundamentally independent review of what happened.
Well, you say you use that airport quite often. What's your general experience of the international airport?
Well, it's inconsistent. You can turn up, you know, I'm a frequent traveller, so I will use the fast track security because of one of the cards I have. But I frequently see, you know, queues down the escalators where families, you know, and other travellers are becoming increasingly frustrated. Then when going through security, I see the occasional person coming up because they've been at the back of the queue and they fear missing their flight. And that creates that unhealthy tension where the security staff are saying, well, that's your own fault, you should have come earlier. And that person is then frustrated because, you know, they hadn't anticipated the length of queue. So, you know, there's huge frustration. And, you know, I've travelled in other airports where security is not great, but nowhere where it can be as bad as it can be in Belfast International Airport. So, It's not a good situation.
So what on earth is going on?
And this,
this is one of our main airports.
Do you know what as well? The men and women working on the security when you go through it, you know, are always great in my experience. This is not down to them. It's not down to the frontline staff. And in fact, I don't even think this will be down to the frontline police. This is down to how that place is managed. And I think it's managed, you know, it's my personal opinion, but from what I see, I think it's managed on a shoestring. And that's because, you know, it is about, it's a business. It's about making profit. And thereby, they're doing what they can on the cheap. So let's simply call for an independent review.
I'm aware they're not here to defend themselves this morning, and I'm sure they say that they would.
Choice.
Yeah, it is their choice, and I'm sure.
Sorry, staff did. We spoke to staff, and they did say to us, "This is what happens when we're short staffed."
Yeah.
Because there was no security. A couple of women from the shop had said, "Oh yeah, I went over and asked, you know, where can I get security?" And they said, "Oh, well, this is what happens when we're short staffed. There isn't any."
Well, what I was going to say was we need to give Belfast International Airport, whether they'll come on or not, an opportunity to respond to this. So we will put that opportunity once again to the airport this morning, ask them how many security staff were on, whether that's consistent with numbers that would be on in similar airports with similar traffic. We need to ask all of those questions. And the airport are saying that the incident in its entirety lasted 7 minutes, with police arriving on the scene within 3 minutes. Our witness this morning is disputing that. Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. I'm just wondering, you know, okay, a lot of my questions have already been answered for me anyway there, you know, but we're just wondering about their own security. Now, I've just heard you say there that they were short-staffed. Well, surely the airport's responsibility is to protect its customers, and if they're not doing that, then something needs to be done with the people who own that place. But I can't help feeling that if that had been, you know, like an agitated mother or a stressed out mother with a couple of kids running about the airport, I think security staff would have been down very quickly to that woman and tell her to protect and look after her kids. But yet they sit back and allow a bunch of hobos and yobs to run mad, and then they're allowed to fly after that. Why were none of them arrested?
Well, we don't know if anyone was arrested, and they would argue they didn't sit back. They would argue the police intervened within 3 minutes.
Yeah, well,
we've put the question in this morning. Why were some of the people involved in a fight? We'll ask the airport if they're confirming that some of the people involved in the fight were allowed on an aircraft. And would you want to be sitting on a plane where some of these thugs who had been involved in a fight are sitting beside you?
No, because you don't know what they're going to do next. They should never have been allowed to fly. I mean, they're agitated as it is. Now, you're putting them on the airplane in the confined space where there must be a drink taken, obviously. So, I mean, you don't know what they're going to do after that. So none of them should have been allowed to fly.
OK. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Jim Gamble, nice to talk to you. Thank you to
our witness
this morning. Thank you very much.